And I thank the Lord for this afternoon and for each one of you that are here. And I want to testify to begin with, and you're probably saying, oh, it's another testimony of the last 6 months. No, this one is much older than that. It has been my testimony as long as I have been in the ministry, how God has proven himself over and over. There were a number of years that I was the only minister here, and that I was doing both of the services on Sunday, and I really cannot tell you how many times I was sitting in that pew over there and would be sick. Maybe have a terrible headache. No. Other things, other anxious feelings, and I'd be sitting there and praying and looking to the Lord, and I knew Lorne was always praying for me. Oftentimes when we got down to pray, I'd whisper to him, I really need prayer this morning. So this is my testimony, is that the Lord never failed me. I would have a bad headache, take the pulpit, and it would be totally gone. Every time. I have never preached from the pulpit sick. Maybe when I come back down, the headache comes back, but while I'm in the pulpit, everything is okay. And that came to my mind, for I was sitting over there, and I'm feeling the weariness by the afternoon, and it's just part of what I've been through, and that came to my mind, and I am trusting that the Lord is going to help me today.
Amen.
This is far beyond what I have done in 6 months. So this afternoon I'm desiring prayer that the Lord will be my help one more time.
Amen.
And he has been. He has ministered to me. I thought of the song that was just sung, he's everything that I need. And may I also testify a little bit more. During this past 6 months, I've had a lot of time laying in a bed, staring at a ceiling. Looking back over the last 40 years, I had a lot of memories that came back to me. I don't know that I have missed one Zoom meeting. If I have, I don't remember it since I've been at home. And I've heard the songs sung that I have sung many, many times down through my life. And I have been able to raise my hand in song many times as a testimony of my desires and of my determination and so forth. There's one song that it's been a challenge to me now, but the song that says, in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. And as I would hear even you sing it, I'm saying to myself, do they know what they're saying? Many times, I raised my hand to those words in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. I meant it with all my heart. But the songs that we sing, the words that we say in our services, God has a way of sometimes allowing us to be proven by what we said we were or intended to be. And I pray that as life unfolds for each of you and whatever God allows in your life, that it will work for His eternal good and for your eternal good, because there's a great test that comes with our testimonies. And that's not to discourage us in testifying. We're going to minister this afternoon, continuing on with grace. Keeping grace is the title this afternoon, and it is an extension of the services last Sunday when we spoke of the beauty, and I spoke a little bit this morning of it, the beauty of holiness and worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But we emphasized last Sunday the beauty of His grace. And I think often we take the word grace and we don't really fully comprehend what it means to us. The word grace itself is a beautiful word, and sometimes people will use it like, oh, they walk so gracefully, or they look graceful, and they use it in the outward appearance of a person, and it has that definition, you might say. But there is such a deep, much deeper definition that goes with the grace of God. And as we spoke to you this morning, and we've read that last little statement that was our closing statement, that we really wanted everything that we had said before to have meaning in that one statement. And I hope that it can be that way. So I'm beginning this one with the same thing, because I want us to really understand, if I make heaven, if you make heaven, it's because of God's grace. It's because of His love. It's because He helps us. If God was the kind of God that other gods are, that are silent and deaf and made of stone and cannot hear anything that I say, if that was the kind of God we were serving, then we would have no hope. Amen. But our hope is in the fact that our God is alive. And He is real. Yes. And He is, and I don't want to jump so far ahead, I'm using all my scriptures. But we know that our God is real. And so therefore I'm going to read it again, just to open it up to us again. I call some of this message the core feelings of God. Does He have some core feelings? I believe He does. I believe He's just not, He's not like you and me. He's not fickle. He doesn't, He has deep feelings. We'll leave that then. But it says, when the redeemed from every tribe or language or people or nation from all of the world are singing the song of the Lamb in His presence, there will be no question as to who was ultimately responsible for their salvation. God is so responsible for your salvation and for my salvation. And He doesn't just meet you with a one-time, say, kneeling at the altar and repentance and sets you on your way, and now do the best you can. He's not going to do that. He has a purpose that He wants to take you and me to the end. Yes. of our life. No place along the way is God going to just leave you to yourself. But, now what can follow a but? It means that you may feel alone sometime. You may feel that God's presence isn't there. You may not even hear His voice. We had a message a few weeks ago on feeling alone and not hearing the voice of the Lord. And that doesn't mean He's not there. If you can't see Him, feel Him, that doesn't mean He has abandoned you. And yet, we will have those times. And we have to expect those times. Because we are a tested and a tried people. How many times have I said that down through the years? We should be prepared for the tests and the trials. So, it will be our loving and faithful God who called us all to the praise of His glorious grace. So grace is so important. And again, we said this morning how that God feels this grave responsibility because none of us asked to be born. We had nothing to do with coming into this world. And so therefore, God's going to do everything He can for you and for me to make heaven. And I think I mentioned also that aren't you glad God didn't come when you failed in your life, when you found that you had to go back and repent for something? I'm glad. I'm glad His mercy was extended to me in those places and that He didn't just turn me loose. You know what? God could have turned me loose when I was way out in sin and said, she's not worth it. But He never said that. And He never said that about any of you. Yes. He felt a responsibility. Why do I know that? Because I'm going to come to the verse. I'm going to get ahead of myself. So I want to hold God up and lift Him up. Didn't the Word say, Jesus said it, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, I want to tell you, if He had never drawn us, we could never have been saved, because the Word of the Lord says that's the way that we are saved, is that He draws us to Himself. So I want to lift Him up this afternoon. 2 Peter 3, going to give this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. That's what I see is His core. He's not willing for any soul to perish. You and I may be going to town and we see homeless people and they're looking undesirable. Maybe they have shaggy appearance. And maybe we might feel a little turned off. But you know what? God isn't. Yeah. He looks beyond the exterior. And it will pay us to look beyond the exterior too, won't it?
Yes.
And see that there is a soul, an eternal soul. And that's what is the core of God's responsibility. He looks beyond what is despicable and even unloving. Have you ever been unloving?
Sure.
Have you known somebody that was hard to love? You know, God's love reaches beyond all of that.
Yes.
Even when you and I aren't lovable, He looks beyond that. Thank the Lord. So it says that he's not willing that any should perish. But what is he willing for? For all to come to repentance. And what if he had not had that attitude? I'm going to call it an attitude. When you were lost, when you were out there, when you failed, he was willing for you to come back to repent. He was willing for me to come back and repent and receive from him what? The grace of God. And so we want to, this, you know, if you stop and study grace out, it has a very plain definition. Because it'll say it's his unmerited favor. And I believe in that definition. I use that definition when I'm crying out to the Lord, Lord, grant unto me this, your unmerited favor. Why would I say something like that? Because I know I have no merit. I don't have any reason to say, Lord, you are obligated to turn your attention toward me. You are obligated to heal me. We are unprofitable servants. The scripture calls us unprofitable, and we have to recognize I have no goodness to hold before the Lord and say, I am so good that you need to turn your attention toward me. I can't say that. But his divine grace, his divine, the core of his very heart toward mankind is saying, no, you don't hold any merit and you're not good enough, and yet I turn my attention toward you. We do not deserve the favor of God. We don't deserve it. So another scripture says simply this, which is familiar. You know what? I'm not going to give you anything that you don't already know. I know that you already know everything. We're just reminding us. But he says, we are saved through faith. No, I missed a word. It's not just faith. What? Yes. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God.
Yes.
Not of my works. Oh, how many of us enjoy gifts? Down through my life, I've had little gifts given to me that were meaningful. And I never forgot who gave it. Oh, I remember when they gave that to me. And just looking at it brings back to my mind maybe when I received this little gift. You know, we need to think about our gift of salvation every day. God's favor, God's gift, God's grace made this possible, that I can be a new creature in Christ, that I am not the old man I was or the old person I was. I look at my pictures. I can look at the pictures of when I was young and oh, I am ashamed of who I was. And yet he saw fit to come and reach out to me, and by his grace he saved me. And I became a new creature. I'm not the old person I once was. So grace is very important to us today. I want us to also continue to see it as beautiful, as worthy of our praise. We praise him for his grace. There was, I heard of this, there was a woman that was invited to a gospel meeting, and she must have not had very much knowledge of God because she didn't quite understand when the message went forth and there was an invitation to repentance. And somebody, I think, maybe said something, "Do you want to be saved?" Or, "Well, what do I have to be saved from?" Well, we repent of our sin, but I don't have anything to repent of. There are people out there that are ignorant, and they don't understand. The thing that even if we feel like that we have been morally good, and even if we feel like that we have not done major sins, "I'm not as bad as this one over here, I don't do this and I don't do that," and justify ourselves, there are people that just simply don't know and understand. The one sin that they should recognize is that they rejected the gift of salvation. And so when we finally recognize the great price that was paid for my salvation and for the salvation of the world, and look upon that and say, "I'm so unworthy, and yet he saved me. Thank the Lord." So there are people that we need to have compassion for that don't understand what they need to repent of. The scripture says, another scripture that came to my mind was that God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, why would I insert that in a message on grace? Because it's connected to grace. Well, how can his anger with the wicked be connected to grace? It's the finishing of the scripture. It says, and this scripture is found in several different places, especially in the Old Testament. "For all this," and there's much more ahead of this verse, because the children of Israel, God was angry with them. God was ready to cut them off. It was Moses that appealed to God, and God listened. But those people were, I'm going to say, despicable. They went from one rejection to another. But here's what it said in a lot of those places. "For all this, his anger is not turned away." But what ended it that says his grace was there? His hand is outstretched still. In spite of his feeling of anger and disappointment of his own people, he still had his arms outstretched. And that's what I see as the grace of God for all of us. His arms are still outstretched for us. I put down here that he continued to call. How many of us, when we were out there, he called and we rejected it? And he called again. And he called again. I can tell you that the Lord called me many times. And I'm not talking about to this. He was calling to salvation, to deliverance from the life of destruction. He was calling me. So he continued to call. He continues to call today. Remember what we said this morning about grace? It was mercy. When mercy runs out, this world is over. But his mercy is still there, new every morning. His compassions fail not. All of these things is part of the grace of God, that he's reaching out to us, and he continues to reach out to each one of us. And I'm wondering if you right now looked back and What do you remember about your life out there? Did the Spirit of the Lord follow you? He did. And it continually, oh, the Spirit would be strong at one time and you would know it, and then it would withdraw. So the Spirit has followed you and me, and God is still calling to salvation, and He is ever faithful. And when we speak of His faithfulness, aren't we feeling or thinking of His unchangeableness, that He does not change? You can depend on Him to be the same.
Thank the Lord.
The same as when you first started out for the Lord. How was God? How did you perceive Him when you knew your sins were forgiven and you were free? Thank the Lord.
Yes.
And now today, He's still faithful.
Yes.
So now I would like for us to consider a scripture and His work that He has been doing in us and how He has kept us. His keeping grace. Philippians 1 and 6, Paul said this, "I am certain that God, who began a good work within you," has there been a good work begun in you?
Yes.
At some point, do you look back and say, "That's where I got saved, never to give up again"? Yeah. I'm making my choice. I've made my choice. Okay, He's begun a good work in you. Now, He will continue His work until it is finally finished in the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now, that is another translation, but I liked it. So I'm going to read it again. I am certain that God, who began a good work within you or me, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. That's His core.
Yes.
That is the grace of God. Every day His grace is there to enable, and that's the real meaning. We know it's unmerited favor, but He has, through His grace, an enabling power that helps you and me make the right choices. I'm going to testify. There was a situation that happened that was very grievous. This is many years ago, would have been over 40 years ago, and Lauren had just been saved a short time. It was very hard. And as a matter of fact, we were both weeping because of it. And I'm saying, oh, there's just nothing left for me to do but give up. Not Lauren. He fell down by the bed and he started praying. And there was nothing left, I say nothing left, but for me to fall down by the bed too. But you know what I learned in that?
Yes.
It was the grace of God.
Yes.
It wasn't Lauren's choice that made me choose. It could have been His example that influenced me to be subject to the grace of God and not say, oh, I have to give up. No, the enabling power of God reached me at that moment.
Thank the Lord.
And I didn't give up.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. So, are we grateful for His enabling power? Yes. Can you look back and see where at that moment that you could have said, I mean, the devil, isn't he trying to work with us? He wants us to be affected to the point that we say we can't go on any farther.
That's right.
Jude 1, 24 and 25, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." You know, we need to memorize some of these verses. And we need to repeat them when we're tempted. I know God is able to keep me from falling. And believe it. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty and dominion and power. How do you see your God right now? Is he one that has dominion and power? Is he one that has glory and majesty? Yes. And it's from now and forever, it says in this verse. Jude 1, 24 and 25. I took out some of those words. I wanted you to get a hold of the core words. And he saved us. He saved us by his grace. And he's calling us to what a holy calling. I'm going to just insert here because this is part of his grace. It's not my works, but it's his work. His work in me. And it is because it is his own purpose, and it is because of his grace, a holy calling. What is a holy calling? A holy calling is for us not to stay in just a justified state. He knows you can know you're saved. But if we want to experience that enabling power and that grace to rise above and have power in our life, it is through the life of being sanctified holy. And I think that in the past we have mentioned more than once of how important it is to be sanctified holy. So John 10 and 28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, you know, when you go out and you say, "I believe that you can live free from sin," what if you go and you say, "I am never going to perish"? Will they think that you're stretching the truth? Can we live free from sin?
Yes.
We can by the grace of God. But we can have that unmerited favor, enabling power, when we have given ourselves wholly, wholly, and then to be holy, holy, because he says in his word, "Be ye holy,
yes,
as I am holy." That should be our goal, our core desire is to be as he is. Now I'll go back. John 10 and 28. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither," now this is the core, "neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Can anybody take your crown? Doesn't the scripture says, "Let no man take your crown"? Does that mean somebody could? Possibly. If you give in, they could take your crown. But here it says, "Nobody can pluck you out of my hand."
Thank the Lord.
So God is the keeper of my soul. God is the keeper of your soul. And a common scripture now that we use, and it truly speaks of the power of grace. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:13, very familiar. And this is why I didn't quote it a while ago. "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." How many times have you been tempted and there's this little voice that comes and says, "You're the only one that's been tempted like this. Nobody's been tried like this." And it makes you feel isolated, and it makes you feel like there's no hope because nobody else has tasted or been tested as you have. But it says here that every temptation, somebody else has been tempted with it. Somebody else has either fallen under it, or somebody else has either surmounted the temptation and won the victory. So it says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And then you go into a trial, and you go into one of the hardest trials you've ever been in before, and you may even say, I can't take anymore. I cannot endure this. And maybe our flesh feels that way. And it's okay for you to say it, because God's going to come. It says he will, with the temptation, make a way, just a way, for you to escape, that you may be able to bear that temptation. Always remember that scripture and use it when you're in a tempted place. It is God who empowers us by his grace to bear what we have to bear, or to overcome, or to endure to the end. It is through his grace, and he will do it until the day that the Lord comes. We are called, this is another little thought, changing thoughts just a little bit. You and I are called to be worthy, to walk worthy of our vocation. What is our vocation? Is it being an engineer? No, we're called to be saints and to walk worthy of that calling. God has grace for us to walk worthy of that calling. Psalms 121, 7 through 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Isn't that something? God will preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Do you pray that way? I do. Lord, keep my soul. Preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? It's one that we need to hold on to. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit and soul and body. Soul, spirit, body. He wants to keep us in every way. Be kept blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's people should be his saving and keeping grace for each one of his people. Yes. And I thank the Lord that he saved and sanctified. And we all might have a testimony. That's familiar. That's familiar vocabulary in our testimonial services and our prayer meetings. I thank the Lord that I am saved and sanctified. But you know, we might add something more and say, I thank the Lord he's keeping me by his grace. That's a good one to add to. So I think that I had a little bit more here, but the time is getting away. So I think I'll skip down to our last scripture. And it is in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, in closing. And this is not exactly, but it is, has to do with his grace. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. And that's probably some of those words I should have went dot, dot, dot. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Yes.
So the core part is I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. So in closing, I would like for us to sing number 275. And the title of it is Keep Me. And I would like for us to really concentrate on the words that are used in this song, the writer. And maybe you have things that you want to as you pray, say, Lord, keep me from this, or keep me in that. And as we sing the song, I'd like for us to just sort of be focused on the writer and what he is saying he wanted God to keep him from. And it can be our testimony too.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.